to be in the Lord's house. Pray the Lord help us and help the church. I prayed, and most of the time, Brother Robert, when I'm praying, I'll tell the Lord that I don't even deserve to even ask, and I have no merit of my own worthy to come to the throne of grace, but I don't go to him in my merit. You go to him in the merit of Christ, and that's where you have access. And God answers your prayer for his son's sake and who you're in. And we pray in Jesus' name. And I don't have nothing to bring before the throne of God of my own, no how. I ain't got nothing condemned. I'll say this, I've said it before, and it's all right, and I understand what I mean by it, and I understand what you mean by it. It's beyond I ought to be on my way to hell, I ought to be in hell. I should already be there, Brother High. But if I was still alive, then what I would merit, I would be on my way to hell.
Yes, sir.
What I'd merit,
yes, sir,
in my own. But I'll say again, deserve before God is a bad word to man. Because it ain't no good what you deserve. It ain't no good what I deserve. I appreciate the grace of God this morning. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll look here in the Word of God. And if I can, the Lord will help us and want to look at some things. Some of it I may go fairly quick, but I want to get to a place if the Lord will help us. And I'll read verse 22 and 23 and we'll move on. I said something about verse 22. The last time we taught Ephesians 4, he said that you put off concerning the form of conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And I think the new man is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's the presence of God. It's the Holy Ghost. It's walking in his spirit. I want you to look in Romans 13. We'll turn there in the Bible. If you want to, we'll look in the book of Romans chapter 13 this morning. He said this in the scripture, and that you put on the new man. And you put on the new man. Romans chapter 13, familiar scripture. If you read your Bible much at all, then you'll recognize this scripture. He said in verse number 11, Romans 13, in that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. There's put on. He has a lot to say about put on. It looks to me like that there's a responsibility of man that can only be accomplished by the grace of God. But there is responsibility of man. We do have responsibility, Brother Todd, and I understand that you'll never accomplish it, nor do you have the ability to do it aside from the grace of God. He giveth more grace, Brother Robert. And I understand it. That's God's side of it, but there is a responsibility of man that I have no capability of my own to accomplish. That points it back to God so much the more to the goodness and praise and glory of God. Because if you can fulfill the responsibility in the eyes of God, what God says is your responsibility, if you can and do fulfill that, then you did it by the grace of God. It's God. It's God that worketh in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. You cannot deny the scripture in that, Brother Hyde. It's all God. If my will is to do it, it's because he willed it in me. If I fulfill that, Brother Robert, if I do what God tells me to do, it's because he did it in me and through me. Thank God, according to his purpose, he said in the Word of God, the night is far sent, he said, the armor of light. Verse 13, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. Here it is. He said, put on the new man. Verse 14, he said, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. he's speaking to them in Ephesians how that old man, it was deceitful lust. He said, put that off. Get rid of that. Don't walk in that. There's deceitful lust, but put on the new man. In Romans, he said, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Looks to me like that if I make provision for the flesh, I'm going to fulfill the lust thereof. It's going to happen. If you give place to it, if I give place to my flesh, Brother Hyde, every time, if I give place to it, he said, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put ye on the new man. And then he said, and make not provision for the flesh. Looks to me like them go together, Brother Hyde, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh. Them walk, them go together. If you put on the Lord Jesus Christ this morning and you walk in him and you walk in the Holy Ghost, then there's power, Brother Robert, to not make provision for the flesh, because if I do and if you do, you will fulfill the lust thereof. If I walk in that, Brother Hyde, if I give place to that, and I'm not walking in God. I'm not belittling God. I'm not saying the power is there, Brother Hyde. The power is there to deny the flesh. But when I make provision and you make provision, then it's like you opened up the floodgate. You didn't just open the door. You opened up the floodgates. And it's backed up, piled up, thank God. And they do that on the dam to keep it from bursting, Brother Robert. They'll open up the floodgates. But when they open it up, there's a lot of water that comes over. It's sitting there waiting. It's held back, and it ain't going nowhere. But when it builds up so high and they have to let it go, I'm telling you, it lets it go. You don't want to be on the downside of the dam, because if you don't drown, you're going to be washed way on downstream. And when you get stopped, you ain't even going to know where you're at other than you're in the river. But you're a long ways from where you started. There's so much power, so much force in that, thank God. It's going to take control. And whatever's in its way, it's going to wash it out of the way. I remember we used to go down to Petey River all the time. Carl, we'd go down there fishing. And there's a group of crowd that's crazy. There's in a little 11-foot John boat with about a 6-horsepower engine. And they'd go right up into the dam. And it wouldn't open the floodgates. They just turned it on to make electricity. Next thing you know, here they come. They swirling, coming out of there like this. They just swirling. They trying to get that little engine cranked up. And they finally get it cranked up. And it's all they can do. They just about just sitting still, holding against it. They ain't even going nowhere. They turn it loose. I'm telling you, when I make provision, you make provision, it's like opening up the gates. It's there, thank God. You make provision. It means you give place to it. You open up a door. You make a space for it. You make room for it, Brother High. And when you do, you fulfill the lust thereof. But we don't have to. Paul's telling them in Ephesians, he's telling them to put on the new man. Same thing. He's speaking of put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the new man. Not walk in the old man where the deceitful lust is. And that lust that we fulfill in that, Brother Hyde, when we turn loose and walk that way, he said, put it on. Put on the new man. It's created, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. He said after God. After God is created. Not after man, but it's after God is where the righteousness and the true holiness is in a man. He said here, and I'm going to move on, verse 25, wherefore putting away lying, no liar hath any part in the kingdom of God, not inherited, according to the scripture. He said, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, the truth of God, truth. Jesus is the truth. And the truth sets a man free. And we surely we ought to be truthful with one another. And we ought to be able to do that, thank God. And we ought to be able to speak in truth, thank God. In a right spirit, Brother Robert. I mean, we ought to be truthful, thank God. And love one another in the truth. In fact, you cannot love anybody in a godly love aside from the truth of God. You cannot love a person or your neighbor or your friend or your brother or your sister. You cannot love them outside the truth of God. Not the way God, but I'm talking about in a godly love. And I want to say this, Brother Robert. I want to say this. God never sidestepped and bypassed his truth to love a sinner or a saint. He's not going to do it. He won't do it, thank God. He'll not come down off his righteousness after God's created in righteousness and true holiness. He will not come off of that to show you favor, love, kindness, nothing. I know that, listen, there's mercy, Brother Robert. There's mercy, thank God, and there's the grace of God There's mercy to us that's renewed every morning. When we're outside that truth, listen, God don't condemn you and kick you off into hell. There's mercy that God loves you and he chastises you, but the reason he'll chastise you is because of his truth and holiness. He will not step down from it. And for us to love one another, it has to be in truth. Can't be outside of it. You can say you love somebody, but if it's contrary to the word of God, then it ain't the love of God. Because God, that's not God. I'm not putting God in no box. It's his truth. It's his holiness. It's his righteousness. And he does not step down off of that, Brother Robert. He's not going to step out of it. And he don't expect us to. He said, speak every man truth with his neighbor. He said, wife, he said, we are members one of another. Well, he's speaking of this church right here is who he's writing to. And he said, we're members one of another. Why did he say that? Because they're the same body. Same members of the same body. Different members again. He has a lot to say about the body, the church, in this book. He really did. And a lot previously, Brother Robert, he has a lot to say there. But we are the same body if he's writing to a West Side this morning. And it was written to West Side this morning. And I know specifically in time it was written to the church at Ephesus. I understand, know that. But it was given to us in the Word of God that God had penned down for us for this church this morning, this local church, this local body. He said, you're members one of another. I've never intentionally, I've done it not long ago, and I'm telling you what, it don't feel too good. And sometimes I kind of laugh. I said, that felt so good, I believe I'd do it again. And my daddy used to ask me, he said, did that hurt when you do that? And I said, yeah. He said, well, don't do that. And I've never intentionally hit my hand with a hammer. Keith, you men, I know you have. If you swung one very much, you've hit your hand with a hammer. And I'm right-handed, so if I'm hitting my hand with a hammer, I'm going to hit my left hand because I'm swinging with my right hand. Ain't no need to even try to swing with the left hand. I used to be pretty accurate with a hammer, not so much anymore. One hand's a shaking and the other hand's a shaking, and it ain't good. But I just tell you this much, when you hit it, I hit it not long ago, I hit it so hard, the blunt force, it actually knocked the skin loose, and it hurt for a long time, and it don't feel good. What I'm saying is, I did not intentionally do that, Brother Todd. I did not mean to do it, and I didn't do it again. It didn't feel good, and I didn't do it again. And listen, that's because my left hand is just as much a part of my body as my right hand is, and I'm not going to intentionally hurt it. I'm not going to intentionally lie to it. I'm not going to intentionally deceive it or do anything that would harm it because it's a member of my body. And when it hurts, I feel it. It don't make no difference which hand it is. Drop something on your toe. It's going to hurt. It don't matter if it's your right big toe or your left little toe. It's still going to hurt, Brother Todd. Why? Because it's a member of your body. That's why it's going to hurt you. And he said here in this word of God, he said that we ought to put away the lying, we ought to speak truth to one another. He said we are members one another. Every member is a member of the same body. There is. Some people don't believe it. Now, I'm not talking about universalism as far as one world religion and all that mess. But there is one big body of Christ. Save born-again people. There is a local body here this morning. This local body is part of the body of Christ. We're born into that. You're birthed into that body, into that family. He said we're members one of another. Why would we hurt one another? Well, listen, you ever done it? Well, I have. It's not of God. I just say that. It ain't of God when I do it. It ain't of God when you do it. It ain't of God when we do it. There's no God in that. He said, we're members of one body. We're members one of another. I've never intentionally cut myself, hit myself, broke a bone, never took a knife to cut myself. It don't feel too good, but I've never burnt myself. I'd rather get cut to the bone than burnt any amount of anything. But I've never done it intentionally. I've done it. I was welding the other day. And a slag ball go down between your fingers right there. And you're talking about hurting now. It'll burn till it goes out. It don't last long, but it feels like it's on fire. And the smart thing to do is put some welding gloves on, which I didn't have them on. So it wasn't too smart, and I fought. But I'm telling you this much, when it hit my left hand, I was welding with my right hand. And when it hit my left hand, I stopped welding with my right hand till I put the fire out. Why? Because that's a member of my body. And it hurt when I did it. He said, don't do that. speak the truth. You remember, notice this. He said in verse 26, I got to move on. I want to get this a place here. He said, be ye angry. Well, God's angry with the wicked every day. But listen, he was angry with my wickedness and angry with your weakness before he saved you, but he did forgive you, thank God. There is forgiveness, thank God. There's grace and forgiveness. And listen, God has mercy on whom he have mercy, and that's his business. He does that, thank God. But listen, this morning we have something that, listen, I believe it's right, Brother Todd. We have something that goes beyond mercy, and it's called grace. Now, mercy is a grace. I think everything's held up by the love and grace of God. I understand and know that. In fact, he said it all hangs on love, according to the scripture. Everything hangs on love, and God is love. God is love. But listen, he said, be ye angry and sin not. God is angry, and we ought to be angry at sin. There ought to be a righteousness in us. That righteousness and true holiness, which is after God, is in you. Put it on, thank God, but it's after a godly sword. But it's in you. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're walking in Christ and I'm walking in Christ, then there'll be an angerness towards sin. There will be a righteous indignation towards that's wrong in the sight of God. Not in the sight of man, but in the sight of God. See, here's the thing. In the sight of God, there's no respect of persons, anything, or anybody. You see it the way God sees it. And nobody or anything else matters. I'm not saying that you're arrogant, but that's your mindset. That's how you see it, thank God. And listen, we can walk in that, and we can make provision for the flesh, and we can get used to that. And I have, and you have, everybody probably has sitting here this morning, we somewhat get used to it. But God said that he has a righteous indignation, and God said we ought to have a righteous indignation. And he said, be angry, no sin. And he said, and sin not. Wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Harmless as a dove. I've never seen a dove hurt anything. I watch them. I go hunting. Y'all don't condemn me for that. I like to go dove hunting. It's a challenge to hit them. Sometimes I do pretty good. Sometimes not so good. But if I kill them, I eat them. I don't waste them. I don't kill them just for sport. I'm going to eat them like a rabbit or squirrel. But I've watched them. I feed my chickens some corn and wheat. Of course, the dove's going to be out there because they're ground feeders. That's how they feed. In the morning, in the afternoon. And they'll be out in the driveway eating up some little pebbles. That's how they grind their food. They'll be out there. You just watch them. They're getting fat, too, especially them that hang around the house. There's about six of them. The squirrel be out there. Chickens be out there. They don't pay them no attention. They don't try to flog them. They don't try to run away. They just mind their own business. They just eating, enjoying themselves. They'll never do nothing, no harm. Now, you take old blue jay, he's as mean as a snake. A mockingbird's pretty mean, but a blue jay's mean. Looks like a big blue cardinal, but he's mean. He'll run the rest of them off. He's just mean. Them doves, they'll never harm nobody. He said, harmless as a dove. They here for the purpose God put them here for, and they never harm. You just watch them. They're a totally different bird. They're a totally different bird. I think God made them special. I think God made them special. He did say that the Spirit descended like a dove, as a reference to a dove, and the Holy Ghost. Christ is the fullness of God going forth. He was God and fullness of God when he came here. But there was a fulfillment in the scripture there. Y'all know what I'm talking about. He said, be angry and sin not. Notice this. He said, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Now, what I really think that means is don't harbor it. Now, this is what I'm saying. If you harbor it, that'll add on to what's building up behind the floodgate. And it'll keep growing, and it'll keep growing. And that river will keep flowing. And that thing will get bigger and bigger and bigger, Brother Todd. And when it turns loose, it's going to do damage. And it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt me. It's going to hurt others. It's going to hurt members of the family, members of the same body. He said, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't harbor it. Get it right. Get it right. Get it right with whoever the wrongness is in. Most important, Brother Robert, get it right in your own heart between you and God. Now, God did say if you have aught between you and your brother, go make that thing right with your brother before you come to the altar of God to make it right there. There's a way to do that, church. I'm not going into it all this morning, but there's a scriptural way to do that. That's a totally different lesson. And that's, again, is given to church. That's something totally different, Brother Robert, and I'm getting into that, but there's a way to do that. But what he's telling this church right here, he said, be angry and sin not, and don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. He said, if you got wrath, if you got anger, if you got that right there, don't. If you let the sun go down upon it, chances are it'll be there tomorrow, Brother Robert. It'll still be there. And you let it go down again, and it'll be there the next day, and it'll be there the next day, and it'll be the next day. There's always an answer, church, in the scripture. And listen, I've seen it, and I've experienced it, and I don't understand why. And I've been guilty of it myself, and I've asked God to forgive me. And listen, this word of God, Brother Robert, was written to the people of God. Specifically when the New Testament book of God, the New Covenant, was written and given to the church. And listen, if the church can't speak in truth and love one another and don't let the sun go down upon the wrath, if we can't do it, then God help, what's wrong with it? I'm not preaching to you. Again, I'm gonna move on. But this is what he said. He said, don't let it go down upon your wrath. There's a way, Brother Robert, there's a way according to the scripture and the leadership and guidance of the Holy Ghost to take care of this. And listen, if we have the Holy Ghost, then surely he can help us make everything right, thank God, and we can wake up tomorrow fresh and clean. We ought to have that much God. Now, there's some humility and there's forgiveness and there's love, thank God. Here's the thing, church, I'm going to move on, and I know you're not God and I'm not either. So God says, what sins are you talking about? He forgave them to the uttermost, the east to the west. You made mention of it. They're gone. He don't remember them no more. And that reason that is because when he looks at you, a sinner saved by the grace of God, he does not see you. He sees his son. God sees you. God sees you in Christ. You're not Christ, but he sees you, Brother Robert, with the holiness and pureness and righteousness every bit as much as Christ is, because he gave you that. He imputed what was his into you. And you're eternally, thank God, saved by the grace of God and a child of God. So you're pure. You have to be. If you wouldn't, you wouldn't get there. If you had one speck on you and he did, listen, God did not see you as pure as Christ is, then you'd never get there, Brother Todd. I'd never get there. No man ever would. Because there's not going to be any unrighteousness in the presence of God. Everybody there, thank God, will be made like him, and they'll be as pure and holy as he is. Not him, won't be him, Brother Robert. I understand, know that, but you'll be every bit as much pure you are now in the eyes of God. I'm talking about in time. When that time comes and everybody's around the throne of grace, everybody will be as pure and righteous and holy and clean as Christ is himself. Why? Because he made you that way. He imputed it into you. He gave what was his, he gave it to you. Now you have it because he gave it. You didn't obtain it by your own merit. He gave it to you. He gave it to you. And listen, God is telling us, thank God, and giving us. I done lost my thought, but what I'm saying is, he said, don't let it go down upon your wrath. Don't give place to it. Don't leave it. Listen, make it right, thank God, and move on and walk in holiness and in truth, Brother Robert. And do that, take care of this thing the way the scripture says, and God will help us. I wonder sometimes in my own heart, and I've asked myself this, Brother Robert, and I'm going to move on. I've asked myself, I'll do something. I said, where was God at in that? And the answer is, he wouldn't. Oh, I know he's in it, in that there was a purpose for it, and he's going to accomplish something in it and get glory. I understand, know that. But you, listen, church, I can't use that as an excuse to do wrong. God help, that ain't. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. I've heard people say that. Well, you twist the word of God and make it believe what you want to believe. That's crazy. I understand, know that. That's like the conditions of God, Brother Robert, Brother Todd. If I don't walk in the conditions of God, if I don't walk in the responsibility that God's given me, Will God ever bless me again? Well, the mercy of God goes beyond your inability and my slackness and understand that if I lack on God and He does, He blesses us in spite of ourselves. I understand that. But listen, I can't say with a great hope and expectation that I can believe God's going to do something if I'm not doing what God told me to do. That don't mean my sorrowness will hold back the hand of God. That means my expectation's not there. If I'm not walking in God. If I'm putting on Lord Jesus Christ and I'm walking in it, then I have a great expectation in my heart, brother. God's going to hear me. God's going to answer me. God's going to do great, mighty things. You got to remember this, church. There's always a God side of it, and there's always a man side of it. And we can understand some things about God's side, Brother Hyatt, that He gives us. We can understand that He gives us. Sure. But I'll say again, church, I can't drive in His lane. I can see some things in His lane from my lane that He's given me, Brother Robert, that He's given you. You can see them things. But that still ain't my lane. Help me, help us, Lord. I got to go on. He said, neither give place to the devil. Now, I want to tell you what I believe here, church. For the church. Greater is He is in you than He is in the world. Satan has no power over Christ. None. He got no power over. God said, hast thou considered my servant Job? Did a lot to the man, but he was under the reign of God. And he couldn't do anything. Now listen, he said, neither give place to the devil. Greater is He is in you than he's in the world. Don't entertain him. Don't give place. Don't open up the door. Don't entertain. Now, I'll say this morning. This is what I believe you might not. I believe the power of Christ abides in the believer. And it's greater than the power of Satan. Satan has no capability of overriding Christ. He never has, never will. He's created by Christ. He rebelled. We know the account there, what happened. We understand, know that according to the scripture. Where we're at today, what's going on. But he's not greater than Christ. So I want to ask you something. Can Satan make you do anything, or can you give place to the devil? Now, God said, neither give place to the devil. So it looks to me like that the possibility there is that a man can give place to the devil. But God said, don't do it. Don't give place. Don't entertain. In the garden, Brother Hyatt, in the garden, there was a conversation that struck up and was engaged in. There gave place to the devil. Don't entertain him. When he rears his ugly head up, brother, tell him he's a liar and a father thereof, and there's absolutely no truth can come out of his mouth. Jesus Christ is supreme reign and authority. He cast you off into hell and you go into a lake of fire eternally, and I'm going to go be with God. Shut him up. Cut him off. Don't give place. Again, there is a part of you that it's coming, but it hadn't taken place yet, Brother Hyde. There is a part of me that still, this what you seeing is still the old man. This flesh is no good, and it never has been any good, nor will it ever be any good, and it's not going to be with God. It ain't going to happen. What you see and you look in the mirror is not going to be with God. It's corrupt. It's got corruption in it. It's full of corruption. It's got bad blood. There's where the corruption is. You don't know why your skin's wrinkling up, because you got bad blood. You're dying. I'm dying. He said here in the Word of God, neither give place to the devil. Don't give place to him. Don't entertain him. Don't conversate with him. Don't join in. Don't when he comes at you, thank God. I'm just telling you, shut him up, cut him off, thank God. The blood of Christ. Christ is greater, thank God. He's greater. He's in me. He's greater than you, devil. He's greater than you, Satan. And you don't have no power over him. If I'm walking and put on the Lord Jesus Christ and walk in him, then he ain't got no power over me. He can't listen. If I'm walking in God, Brother Hyatt, I'm telling you, Satan cannot make me do anything. I can entertain him. I can give place to him. Jesus said, God said, don't do that. Paul told him, he said, neither give place to the devil. Why? He is the most subtle beast. He is full of trickery. Listen, he does hate Jesus Christ with all that's in him.
Yeah.
He hates him. It ain't really that he hates you. He hates Christ. Now, he don't care nothing about you. And destroying you makes no difference to him. It ain't gonna bother him tomorrow when he wakes up if he destroyed you today. But really who he's after is Christ. That's who he hates. He said, don't give place to him. Don't give place to him. Don't entertain him. Don't open up the door. Don't get in no conversation with him debating on what God said. And that's what happened in the garden. But there was the giving place right there. That's where it happened at. Now, I'm putting it in my words, Brother Hyatt. This ain't necessarily what said the Word of God. But if they'd have told him, I understand, Brother Hyatt. There had to be that. There had to be a fall of man. There was a lamb slain. I understand. I get that. And there's no denying it. There's no denying that. But what I'm saying to us this morning is tell him to shut his mouth and go on. Tell him to leave, and you go on about your business walking in Christ, and tell him to leave you alone. Don't conversate with him. Don't give place to him. Don't entertain him. Don't do it. In yourself, you don't have it. But in Christ, you can withstand him. He said, let him that stole steal no more. Well, the law of God's holy and righteous. He said, thou shalt not steal. He said, but rather let him labor. That's God's way. That took place back in the garden too. Let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. This may lie, he said, labor and work with your hands that is good, that you may have to give to him that needeth. Brother Robert, you get up and go to work in the morning. Using your hands, your body, that God's give you the ability to do, that he's gave you, give you understanding, and you can accomplish this. Well, you going to do that, not just for yourself, but there's folks that have need. And that's what God said to do. That's the will of God. I didn't make it that way. God did. He said, don't steal, but labor. Do that which is good, that you may have to give to him that needeth. Now notice, God said needeth. Brother Hyde, he did say needeth. Labor. That which is good, do that which is good, that you might have to give to him that had need. Never seen the day when everybody wants a shortcut to a million. I ain't never seen the day. It's pitiful. Ain't nobody working. God help. Right around Salisbury. I'm not going to stay here long because I get in the flesh. It aggravates me, Brother Hyde. But it'll aggravate you. Now, I did it in right spirit. I know a fellow that's a veteran. I'll give him a couple dollars every once in a while. He'll go down to Haps and get him a hot dog. He'll actually take you up on it if you want to buy him some deep. He's an older black guy, been homeless for a long time, since he got out of the military, I think. But not long ago, I tried to do it in the right spirit, Brother Robert. I did. Somebody over into what used to be the old Kmart parking lot down there at the cookout. Want some money. Won't know if I had any money. I said, no, but I got some good advice. They got a help wanted sign on the door.
Right.
You know why I have money to buy me a burger, Brother Robert? Because I went to work and earned it. Not bragging on it. That's what I'm supposed to do. What I'm saying is the reason that works is because that's God's way. And because it's my way, I didn't make it up. If it was my way, I wouldn't have got up and went to work. I'm just telling you, there's days, listen, I've been doing this long enough, brother, the fun's gone, been gone. It's long gone. Used to work all day, go out to shop at Mama's, wake up on a creeper under a car because the stove went out and it's cold. It was fun. Not no more, Brother Robert. But it's the will of God to go do that. What he's saying here, the reason it works is that it's the will of God. And he said that you may have to give to him that needeth. That's the purpose of it. That's the reason for doing it. That's the reason for doing it. Not for yourself. It's not selfishness in that, it's others. That's right. That's the example of Christ. Well, no selfishness in Christ. He didn't come to die for his own sin. He didn't have none. Everything he did, Brother High, was to serve. Yeah. Everything he did here on this earth, listen, everything he's still doing, everything that's in him in eternity is a servitude, a servant, thank God. He didn't do it for himself. He had no sin. He did it, thank God, for himself that he might purchase the ones that he loved, but he did not die for his own sin. He did that to serve mankind. The will of the Father, will of God, I understand that. He said here the word that you might have to give. He said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. In verse 12, he said this, for the work, them gifts he's talking about, he said, a work of ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He's saying here that let no corrupt communication proceed out of mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that builds you up, that lifts you up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Grace of God unto the hearers. It may minister. That it comes out of our mouth. That we speak, thank God. He said, it ought to be to the edifying of the body. It ought to be to the edifying of the church. And that it ought to minister grace unto the hearers. It ought to help them. I'm telling you, when you really need the help of God, and there's an edifying word spoken to you, whether it's through a man or whether it's through the voice of God, it helps. There's a lot of strength in that, Brother Robert. There's a lot of power and a lot of strength in that to go on. You ever felt like giving up? You ever felt like quitting? You ever felt like it's too much, ain't worth it? Just give up and do whatever. Well, I have. More than one time. And there'll be a word come along from God, maybe directly, maybe through a brother or sister. And you draw on that. You pull up to that, and it's like gives you an energy. I don't drink them. I don't think they're good for you. Maybe you do. I ain't condemning them. But it's like an energy drink. I drink caffeine, so I guess that's just as bad, ain't it, Brother?
It's
mud. But y'all understand what I'm saying? It gives you a boost, thank God. Yeah. When you're down and don't feel like getting up, you think there ain't no use to get up, then here's some strength, thank God, or here's a hand lifted down to help pull you back up. And it's an edifying word. He said we ought to do that. That comes out of our mouth. He said no corrupt communication. Well, listen, what comes out of your mouth proceeds from your heart. I understand and know that. As a man thinking in his heart, so is he. The issues of life are right there, Brother Hatt. But what comes out of it is. And listen, I fail in this, we fail in this. But he's saying here that what comes out of that, there ought not be no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. And listen, everybody, I guess, sometimes just thinks that that's just all out filthiness and wickedness. It goes way beyond that. God's not just talking about that. He's saying that looks to me like, Brother Hyde, that he's saying here that the main line of this verse of scripture right here is what comes out of my mouth. He did say, let no corrupt communication proceed out of my mouth. He said, but that which, here's the main line, that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So if it ain't no good for edifying and it ain't no good for grace to the hearers, right? Probably ought not ever say it. You ever say anything that don't give grace to the hearers and it ain't edifying? That alone, aside from the grace of God, is enough to condemn me to hell. Coming short of the glory of God in that. Just in that. You taught James a tongue. I should have crawled under all the pews and come back to find me a place alone with God and talk to God in forgiveness. And in my heart, I did. I mean, it's convicting scripture, but he's saying here that it ought to be to minister grace unto the hearers. Minister it. I got to move on. I'm going to come back to this if Lord allows. He said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Grieve means to sadden, sorrow, distress. He said, the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed. That's how, that's the way, that's the method, that's who. He said, whereby? To the day of redemption. He's speaking there of the body. I won't read this scripture. Trust me, I'll come back to this a lot. But, and then I'm going to close and I'm going to read you this scripture. And I'm not really going to say, I want you to think on it. I want you to think on what God's saying right here. I texted some of it to Brother Hyatt last night, but I want you to look at this. And then I'm done. Romans chapter 8. It's a familiar scripture. Romans chapter 8. If you want to turn there, you can. Not, I'll read it. Sometimes it does me better to look at it than just hear somebody read it. He said, we're sealed the day of redemption. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8 and verse 19. He said, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Here's the verse I want you to really think on what God's saying right here. For the creature was made subject to vanity. Not willingly. Not willingly, Brother Robert. But by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. He told them in Ephesus, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. We're sealed until the day of redemption. Listen, I'm going to say this and I'm done. The Holy Ghost is the seal of God. The Holy Ghost is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know how you know you're saved? Because you're sealed, Brother Todd. Who is the seal? The seal is the Holy Ghost of God. It's not just this Thank God for the Word of God, Brother Hatt. But this is black ink on white paper without the Holy Ghost. I'm not belittling the Word of God. I'm not belittling the Word of God. But that right there alone, nowhere does that Bible say, Brother Hatt, that I'm sealed by that Word of God. That I'm sealed by me believing what the Word of God says. It says we're sealed by the Holy Ghost. Yeah. He is the seal of God. God bless you. Yeah.